This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto. Welcome. Remarkable Results Radio and another Town Hall Academy. We got a great episode today. Uber business versus loaner cars versus shuttles and shuttle drivers. We've never done an episode when we look and compare this. So I want to tell you how much I appreciate your support over the last 10 years. We wouldn't be doing this without you as a listener and our great sponsors.
Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com.
Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Okay, let's get started. Dustin Old, how are you, man?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you, man. Automotive Evolution, 5 locations, Denver, Golden, Colorado, Lakewood, Littleton, Wheat Ridge. God, that's where Donnie Cipher grew up, Wheat Ridge, right?
It is, yep. I know Donnie and his brother, Troy.
Yeah, cool. Great. I'd love to find out about the latte thing.
Of course, yeah. It's interesting. So, yeah, that's actually what we started with in 2007. That was our flagship store, was Lube and Latte. And we determined that, we're always going for that heightened customer experience. And so we decided that if we added coffee into the mix, because everybody's got coffee already, they've got the Mr. Coffee or whatever that sits in the corner or the Nespresso machine. But we made that into a full blown espresso machine and cafe. And that way, when people can come and get their work done, they can have a latte or a mocha or something while they're waiting. It just makes it a little bit more comfortable, or they can take it to go. So just one more thing to kind of draw folks in and make it the experience a little bit different for them.
So cool and so different. So I guess if you thought of going to Starbucks and get a lube on your car, ain't going to happen.
You know, you don't want to get them mixed up. That's the biggest thing.
Good. Glad to have you here. I love your partners page on the website, your website, by the way. That is really cool. Maybe we need to do an episode just on that and the power and the value for that. My friend Tom Ciartino is here. I could tell you're at home, am I right?
Yep, good morning, in the home office today.
Total Automotive in the town of Tonawanda, Buffalo, New York. Glad to have you, Tom. Tom is an Uber business guy. Dustin is in loaner cars and shuttles. And I think this is a fascinating topic to discuss, guys. I guess it's all about the client experience. And I need to ask you both a question. Do you know any shop owners in your realm of influence that don't do anything like this? They just let the customer on their own.
There's a lot of shops that do that in our area. You know, it's what sets us apart from other shops, you know, by being able to give that little extra customer experience to the customer.
That's the thing that drives me nuts to think, Dustin, to go to a shop and you're always having to get your pickup ride somewhere along the line to get you back to either work or home. And if customer service is getting to be a differentiator and in the highest level today in this service business that we're in, how could you ignore that?
It always astounds me when people don't do that, or shops don't provide a service, any kind of service like that. And I always wonder how they sort of maintain what they need to do against what they're trying to bring in. So to me, you have to have something like that, because customers, you know, again, I think they need to get on to work. They need to get kids to school during the school year. So some sort of transportation has to be provided for them. And especially if you're asking them to complete a sizable repair. I mean, you really can't do that. If you're going to be down a vehicle for a few days and you've got kids to transport to, you know, extracurricular activities or something like that, you've absolutely got to have something that you can provide to them that allows them, you know, to get from A to B. And so I think that that's just super, super important. And it is a differentiating factor. And if you're not doing it, I think you're going to be remiss, because I think that's where the industry is going. We're trying to meet more and more of these customer needs.
So you've got an investment. How many loaner cars do you have?
Currently, we have 16, but we're expanding all the time.
I find that fascinating. Over 5 locations.
Yes.
Does Lube and Latte have them, or is that just an in and out thing?
Nope. All the locations have a few. And what's nice about that is, you know, if one location comes up short, then we can shuttle one over to that location, and as long as it's not reserved. And basically then we can, you know, take care of whatever customer, whatever shop, because they're all fairly close. I would say all the shops, the maximum distance between shops is about 20 minutes, but most of the shops are anywhere between 7 to 10 minutes apart.
Dustin, when do you take the yellow pad or the Excel spreadsheet out and do an ROI occasionally on the value of this investment?
You know, I think we look at it fairly regularly. So I would say quarterly, we take a look at it, and we're always trying to find ways in which we can make it a little bit more affordable. So for example, more recently, we converted over to a rental car system and a courtesy car system. The reason we did that is because, you know, courtesy cars tend to be, depending on the store, tend to be a little bit older vehicles, a little bit more worn. But sometimes you've got customers who are real estate agents, bankers, that sort of thing. So they're looking for a little bit more high-end car. And so they want maybe a 2022 or a 2019 or newer vehicle so that when they show up to appointments, it's not some sort of beat up car that is a little bit more embarrassing. So for a nominal fee, which is less than like an Enterprise or an Avis, we'll rent the vehicle out. And again, that turns into a revenue stream for us. So we're able to basically meet different customers' needs. Not to mention, I think then you're sort of catering yourself toward a specific type of customer. If you want that high-end customer, they're looking for something a little bit more high-end to take out and about, and they don't mind paying, you know, $40 to $60 a day for a rental vehicle.
Tommy, I find this fascinating that somebody would want to rent a vehicle for one day. Dustin, I guess what I heard you say is they're on the road, they're doing things, and they need to present themselves. That does make a lot of sense.
You know what? It definitely, you know, sets you aside, Dustin, from some of your competitors in the area, and that's helpful to you. One of the things that in New York we're in a disadvantage on is insurance. It's much more complicated to get a loaner car system or a rental car system in the state of New York. I mean, I've even heard of shops that are kind of skirting the rules to try and get around it. But, you know, that was one of the big weighing factors in New York, is the extra cost and hassle of insuring those vehicles.
I think that definitely does play into it. And that's really, if there's an argument against courtesy and rental vehicles, that seems to be the biggest one. One way we've sort of worked around that is we actually established a company, a separate company with its own EIN that was a rental company. So all the vehicles can be moved underneath the umbrella of that rental company. And for whatever reason, the insurance cost for that is much less as a rental company than when you put them under your general liability or umbrella policies for your insurance. And so when we factored in, because Karim, you'd asked about how often we look at ROI, at last count, I think the cost per vehicle per month was somewhere between $70 to $90 per vehicle. I think for us, that's definitely worth it, because I think sometimes you're going to have repairs that are going to go, you know, 1 to 5 days or longer, and an Uber or a Lyft may not be the best solution in those particular types of repair situations. Because obviously, again, they're transporting kids back and forth to school, they're trying to get to work, and they can't be Ubering and Lyfting all that time. And so to have a vehicle that's accessible to them for those time periods, that allows them to more easily say, oh, yes. You know, my biggest issue with saying yes to this repair was the transportation issue, and you guys are solving that for me. So then it's a little bit easier to swallow a $10,000 or a $16,000 repair.
I find that fascinating, Tom. $70 to $90 a month.
In New York, we were looking at closer to $300, $350 a month per vehicle because of the insurance. Yeah, it's just so much dramatically different. Dustin, I have a question to you, though. On your advisor side, when they're handling out a rental, do you find that they tend to extend repairs that normally there would have been a pressure to get that out of the shop, and now they're more apt to take something in front of that vehicle because the customer's in a loaner car?
Ideally not. That is a really good question. And we constantly hammer this UPOD, you know, into their brains, which is like you have to under-promise and over-deliver. And just because they're in a courtesy car or rental vehicle does not mean that that gives you license to take more time with the repair. So, you know, they're still treating it as they would any other repair. But I will say, when we have emergency situations, so someone shows up and they're trying to get to, you know, out to Utah, to Moab, to go four wheeling. And, you know, normally your schedule is packed and you've got somebody who's in a courtesy car and you know that they're perfectly content to be in that courtesy car and you've bought the time beforehand. Yeah. In those situations, we have given them license to shuffle the schedule around so they can accommodate those emergency situations or those customers who need help right away. Because I think there is something to be said in this industry about speed of service. And when we're not doing things within the customer's time frame, you know, that I think is one of their biggest qualms with repair shops is, hey, you know, you're not doing it in the time that I needed. And so we try and be really, really conservative in doing that. But there are situations where certainly that's going to happen.
Makes it easier for them to say yes at the counter.
Absolutely. 100%.
Tom, as far as Uber business, have you done any kind of analysis as to what you're spending with them divided by the number of people that you've given the service?
Yeah, absolutely. And so far, we're averaging about $15 a ride, which is really affordable. And the customers have actually responded really well to it. They love it. And those cars that come in for that simple oil change that need additional work, now we just, hey, let me get you home. Let me get you out of the office. And we take them home and they're happy to leave the car and get that additional work. So we've seen our average work order go up because of that. One of the biggest factors is it just made us more efficient. We're not pulling somebody from the shop to drive somebody home anymore, which we didn't like to do, but it was always, hey, that's the easiest way to do it. Let's just get it done. It never fails that that customer always needed to be picked up to get back to the shop at 4:30, 5 o'clock during rush hour. They're downtown. It's a normal 5-minute, 10-minute drive, and now it turns into a half hour. We literally just send a link from Uber to their phone. And if they get out of work, you know, late or they're not being rushed, they just hit the link. They come when it's convenient. They do payment, you know, text to pay, and they pay the bill, and we leave the keys in the lockbox for them, and we instruct them in that. And now we're not rushed taking somebody out at rush hour to get a customer back before we close. So it's just made it all in all a better customer experience. So they're not rushed. We're not rushed. And we became more efficient because now we're not pulling people off of jobs or off of the counter or, you know, my manager, Chris, having to go pick somebody up at 4:35. So everybody can stay doing their job.
Okay, let me understand this. And I don't know if you know how this works, Dustin, but I kind of heard from Tom a little bit about it. The process here. We send them an Uber Business link, right? And that would be the comeback. Do they ever take advantage of that and saying, oh, I'm going to use Tom's Uber account. I'm going to go shopping or something?
Well, no, they can only use it for the link back to our destination. So we send them a link.
When that you know that their car is going to be ready.
Yep. And they can use that link, order the ride back to our location. And we even did have a customer that needed to do something over the weekend. We sent them a couple of links for what they needed to do so they could just use them for that link because a car didn't get done on time. So it was able to be convenient for them.
So the $15 average per ride, so it would be home and back, it's $30, right?
Correct.
Okay. And if you look at the 70 to 90 per month from Dustin, because you obviously have a very low insurance rate, it almost seems to me, how often, Tom, are you using Uber?
So we're actually averaging under $300 a month. So it's actually about the same cost as having a car on the road, but with less efficiency loss, where we've increased our efficiency because of it.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, Carm here, suggesting you discover a smarter way to train your entire automotive team. Experience powerful, bite-sized training sessions accessible from any device in just 5 minutes daily. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Today's class prepares your shop for sustained success by reinforcing crucial knowledge. Plus, add a competitive edge with our leaderboard to make learning fun and rewarding for everyone. For effective training that delivers, turn to todaysclass.com.
I guess I would love to find out the insurance issue. Tom, when you looked at this, did you decide to set a separate company and there are different insurance rules with that?
We looked at both ways. If we did it under our umbrella, it was about $1,100 to $1,200 a month per car. Then you're obviously not going to have one car. So how many cars do you have on the road? We'd probably need anywhere between 3 and 5 cars. So, you know, we were looking at a substantial investment on not only the cars, but the insurance, the maintenance, you know, and obviously you want to clean them. So you have detailing costs when they come back and cleaning it up. You know, they're just, when we looked at it, the overall extra work and cost involved with having loaner cars, it was just easier to shift that burden to Uber and let them handle it.
So buyer beware, Dustin. Obviously, each state has a different set of rules for rentals.
Well, I was curious, Tom, with yours. So $300 a month, I was just doing some quick math. You know, $30, that's 10 customers essentially per month. I was also just kind of curious, like, so if it's 10 customers per month, and also that seems really low, I guess, for minor things, because our rental cars and courtesy cars are out all the time. And 10 seems really low. But I was also curious, you mentioned that you send them out even for like an oil change. Since that's a loss leader anyways for most of us, and how do you justify that $30 against the cost of that oil change?
No, not just for an oil change, but if an oil change comes in, it needs additional work, flushes, brakes, whatever it needs. And that customer, rather than have them sit in the office for 2, 3, 4 hours, we'll send them home. This way, it's more convenient for them, and we take and don't have to rush the technician, depending, you know, if we're running into lunch hour or whatever. We can make it more convenient, and just the customer's out of our office, and this way it's handled correctly.
Okay, let me pose a great question. Tom, I come to your place for an oil change. We had some additional work, and you got me an Uber home. Now it's 4 months later, I'm in for an oil change. Nothing more. And because you Ubered me the last time, I say, hey, can you Uber me home? And you only got a $99 transaction looking in front of you, and it's going to cost you $30 to do that. How do you handle that, sir?
It's per customer. If we have a customer that's a loyal customer, spends a ton of money, we're going to Uber them no matter what.
But I'm asking you, hey, how about that Uber home? And what are you going to tell me?
In most cases, we would tell them, hey, look, by the time I get you home, your car is going to be done and get you back. So let's just handle the car now and get you back on the road in your own car.
All right. Every situation is on its own, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you got some really good people on your counter to work that around, right? The shuttle, Dustin, you take someone from, you got people that can jump in that shuttle and do that?
As you were talking, this is exactly what I was thinking about. It was just so interesting. So for us, if we have an oil change, I would rather shuttle that person home. The reason is, for me, there is something to be said, especially for the oil change. That's the time for me to get to know the customer. It's the time for my staff to get to know the customer. When my staff take people home, and we do have a, you know, a certain distance we'll go. I mean, we won't drive 45 minutes to take somebody home if they're just getting an oil change. It has to be within a certain radius of the shop. But they've been instructed to collect all that, the forward information, which is that, you know, John DeJulius sort of concept. And so when they come back, ideally what they're supposed to be doing is entering forward into our management system, be asking questions as they take people home. And so that's why we have kind of a mixture of everything here is we love the shuttle because that's a way for us to connect with people. The courtesy cars and rental cars, I think that's when we have very, you know, sizable repairs that somebody's going to be out for a long time. But for those really quick in and out repairs, again, I think we're all hoping that we're going to have, you know, sold work on those things, but sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. If you're bumping up against a holiday, for example, somebody might be less inclined to do that work. Then those quick rides on a shuttle are great. And so we actually own, because I run a nonprofit too, I actually own a shuttle bus or a huge 13-person van. And that's what we take people home in situations like that.
Damn. I love it. So it's really up. It's a call. It's a person's call. You've got a set of policies and structures and procedures, but in the case of satisfaction or client experience, in a lot of cases, you're going to do what you got to do.
You got to. And again, I mean, for me, some of my guys are maybe not people, you know, not as inclined to be extroverted. I am actually not either. I'm a classic introvert. However, I push myself really hard. If I'm ever shuttling somebody home and I push my staff really hard, be like, you got to just be asking questions, collecting information. You got to get to know that person.
Let's talk about what you just mentioned in John DeJulius. Tom, I know you wanted to jump in real quick, but you said the Ford on people. And let me just remind the world that F is family, O is occupation, R is recreation, and D are dreams. And we have episodes on our website. We've interviewed John a couple of times, and the Ford stuff is marvelous to be able to get it into your system and to be able to say, so, hey, the grandkids playing soccer, won that tournament last year. How's he doing this year? I mean, you want to talk about owning a relationship.
I mean, I definitely think that customers are demanding that type of thing now, where they want that personal touch. They want us to be able to fix their problem and be a counselor where we're talking to them. So it's just getting to know your customers. And that's how, you know, they become customers, then they become friends, you know, they become family. So it just making that connection with them.
Tom, the Uber is all online. It's all web-based stuff. You don't have to do it on a phone.
Nope. Everything's web-based. All the service advisors have on their desktop, they have the Uber app up. It's each advisor has their own profile. So I can know who's providing more Uber rides than others. It's all trackable. And it's nice because I get reports. I know exactly how much our spend is every month. I know who spends more than others, and we could use it for training purposes. It's just really, really a good trackable system, so we know where customers are all the time.
I love what you said earlier, Dustin, about radius, or knowing the radius and knowing the distance. If I was 45 minutes away, Tom, from your place, you used to be near me, you moved, I want to stay, and I go, and I've been a loyal customer, I've spent thousands of dollars. I spent 10 grand with you in the last 10 years, right? And you're going to say, I'm sorry, you're out of my zone?
Well, I think you're throwing all these curveballs at me, Carm, today.
That's what friends are for, by the way.
Exactly. And I'll go back to every situation is different. If it's a customer that's getting a motor put in their truck, and you know it's a $10,000 job, I'm going to give them a ride. Go back to that oil change, I may not, but the potential is there to also for that oil change to turn into a larger job. So you know we have to weigh every situation as it comes. We're doing a lot of more advertising now locally, and we're seeing that our reach is coming from farther out than normal. So if we want to attract those customers, we're spending money to get those customers. We may have to spend a little bit more to make them, you know, long-time customers.
Dustin, you don't have a car. They're all out. What do you do?
So we are just the same as Tom. So that is when we actually flip over to the Lyft or the Uber system. However, I will say, and I've told my staff this, depending on the size of the repair, if we need to, we'll take the customer to an Enterprise or an Avis because, again, if you've got a $16,000 engine and you're going to be paying, you know, for a week's worth of time, which call it $600 for a rental car for a week. If you take, you know, sometimes people are handing out discounts on a repair, 10% of $16,000, $1,600. You're paying $600 for that person to have a nice rental car. You're still $1,000 ahead from the person that gives a 10% discount off that repair. In my mind, I believe that even going the Uber and the Lyft or a rental car outside of our rental car program route is still good. But that's part of the reason why we're looking to expand our rental car fleet, because if we have 30 rental cars in our fleet, now we have a revenue stream from the rental cars. But also, we don't have that situation, Karim, where we're sort of running up against, okay, all of a sudden we're out of vehicles.
Okay. When you consider that you have this built-in client service, do you look at the revenue per ticket? You're doing a DVI, you're seeing what it is, you're offering, listen, these are emergency items, these are must fix now. Is it easier for the client to say, hey, yeah, do them, you're going to get me home? To me, it seems like the lid of the deal or the icing on the cake to have this in your back pocket.
Well, it's all about overcoming objections, right? I mean, this is really what our role as that we're supposed to be assigning to our service advisors and managers of our stores is. How do you overcome objections? If the objection is the cost, then you need to have a program that's going to allow the customer to pay in incremental payments, you know, so an Affirm or something like that. If the issue is transportation, you have to figure out the transportation for them. Whatever the objection is, it's our role to figure out how we can get past that so we can make it work for everybody. You're going for that win-win situation. How can we both win in this? And so I think to me, that's why this is a really pertinent, good issue to talk about, because we have to figure out those differentiating factors for ourselves in our shops that allow us to be able to meet the expectations of the customers, no matter what their objection is.
Tom, what didn't we cover that you wanted to bring to our listener?
We touched on the shuttle service. Dustin, you brought up a good point that having a shuttle as an option is good to get to know the customers and have that one-on-one time with them. But I think on the flip side of that, you have to make sure you have the correct person in the seat of the shuttle, because you obviously don't want somebody diagnosing a car on the road, talking about price on the road, you know, that type of stuff. So, and I've done it myself, is, you know, I'll get 2 miles or 2 blocks out of the shop and know exactly what's wrong with the car. And the customer will continually tell me, well, what do you think? What do you think? And, you know, as far as I know, I don't know what's wrong with the car until it comes in the bay. So, you know, we need to make sure that we have the right person in the shuttle.
You just opened my eyes to something, Tom. You mentioned in their car. Dustin, you're really talking about a separate vehicle, right?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, so you can take them home in their car. Sometimes that happens too, but it's oftentimes a separate vehicle, yes.
I got it. Okay. So you're doing diagnostic work.
He is exactly right. That absolutely has come up. And we've actually had employees go home with customers, and it is like a therapy session. All of a sudden, we're getting details way beyond the details that we want or need, or being asked, you know, to diagnose the vehicle or tell. And so I think that's all about the training, though, right? I mean, when you're having somebody take a customer home, they have to be apprised about, hey, here's some taboo subjects. So, for example, we might stay away from politics. We might stay away from that sort of thing. It's like, we don't want to go there. We have to kind of keep neutral. And again, we're not going to give price. We're not going to diagnose. So I think that all can be set up with, you know, the expectations you have for your employee.
Can you afford to take someone from inside the shop and put them on that ride?
That is a bit of a conundrum. And again, I think that's why courtesy cars for us are oftentimes a better situation. With an oil change and the radius that we go, which is could be a 15-minute radius, yeah, we can do it. And sometimes we have to set the expectation, right? So we might tell people, hey, if you want to be shuttled home, you need to be here right at this time. And then you may have 4 or 5 customers that you're going to shuttle all at the same time. And so in that situation, yes, you can have 5 people being taken home. The employee is gone for an hour. But again, you also have to weigh, what are they getting? They're getting a relationship with these customers, and the customers are, when you look at the lifetime value of a customer, which we just did in a coaching session, and a lifetime value of a customer is $17,000 to $20,000. Yeah, I think you can afford to have an employee away for an hour to build those relationships and for those 4 to 5 customers. I think that's possible.
Great point, Dustin. Hey, guys, it's been great. Let's summarize this. Tom, any final words?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is you need to meet with your management team and your service advisor team and find out what works best for your organization to keep the customer satisfied, keep them coming back, and set you aside from any other businesses around your area. And I think that's the biggest thing, is communication with your to figure out what's working best.
It's all about the client experience.
Absolutely. If you look at any business, and it just doesn't have to be automotive, any business right now is gearing towards that.
Absolutely. Dustin, Automotive Evolution out in Colorado, Tom Ciartino from Total Automotive in Buffalo, New York. Dustin, final word.
I think Tom hit the nail on the head right there. It is all about the differentiating factor of your shops. I think we're constantly trying to figure out ways in which we can rise above the standard that's out there and figure out ways in which we, our shops, can provide even more and more for our customers as that differentiating factor. And I think when we do that, we're basically locking in a customer base for life. And so I feel like that's what those, you know, those vehicles do, and that's what rental cars do. And I think that's what that we all have to be doing to kind of make our shops special.
Yeah, you both are setting a client expectation out there. And when the rest of the world goes out there and has a bad experience or can't get where they need to get, or they're very inconvenienced in order to come and spend money, keep their car maintained, people will vote with their money the next time. And they're going to probably go hunt for a shop that can help them. And you've each done your math. You appreciate it. You're both profitable companies, and it works for you. This was great. Thank you. Uber Business versus loaners versus shuttles. Great, great episode. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Carm.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.